everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, Ish Gupta, and I'm joined today by Dom and Bola.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Patrick Moore.
Hey.
And Michael Ivanos.
Yo, yo, yo.
So let's get right into it. We're recording on Monday, and we have some sort of breaking news. J.J. Watt signing a two-year, $31 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Did you guys see that stat of Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt leading the NFL in sacks? I think they're going to be amazing together. As a Patriots fan, seeing Chandler Jones playing on the Patriots at one time, it kind of hurts me that he is with the Cardinals right now and he is going to be on one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. Because I knew he has talent. And then J.J. Watt, on the J.J. Watt side of the deal, which we're really focusing on. I think this kind of surprised everybody. I don't know about you guys, but I had him go into either the Browns or the Bills. The Packers weren't really in my eyesight for then, but it kind of caught me off guard. I got the notification while I was at school, and I think it just means a whole lot for the Cardinals. Now they have two past Texans, two of the best Texans besides Deshaun Watson. And I think with this duo of Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, they have potential to be the best defensive line in the NFL.
Ooh, I gotta disagree with that real fast. Two players can't make your D-line unless you've got Aaron Donald as one of those.
Can you compare another defensive line to similar caliber of
You mean just them? Like star power overall?
Yeah.
You've got Pittsburgh and you've got Washington, two lines that are undoubtedly better.
Yeah, but give me Washington's two best players, Chase Young.
Skill-wise, it's actually Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen.
It's about depth too, though. Like obviously, mm-hmm. Arizona has the best two guys, but I think that
I don't even know if you can count J.J. Watt as one of the best two guys anymore.
Maybe,
injury prone.
Maybe.
I mean, that's why I said this was a bad deal.
He's still undoubtedly top 10. We can say that.
No. I wouldn't even go that far. He hasn't proven enough recently to actually justify being
top 10. Last season, he didn't have a great season, but we can't just discount
He hasn't had a great season in years. I mean, he hasn't been dominant. He's just been hurt way too much. And maybe he's still great. He's just been getting hurt, and he'll have a great season this year. But as of right now, he doesn't deserve $15.5 million a year. And that is way too high. They could have gotten a bargain for anyone else or even drafted someone at the same position, because this year actually has some good defensive line talent, some good players. He's 31. He's in the back half of his career at least. I mean, he's probably got 5 years left of being serviceable. This was not good at all.
I think he would have been better off at a place like Buffalo, where he could have had, it wouldn't have been as noticeable if he wasn't going to be as good, where he could be kind of carried by some of the other people that they have, because they're such a good team already. I think Arizona's not at the same point Buffalo is, where they're like one step away. I think if J.J. Watt went to a team, maybe Cleveland too, maybe the Packers, where they were like that close, it could have been a better deal. But I'm kind of with Patrick on this one. I don't see this working out too well.
But
thing is with Buffalo and Green Bay is I don't know if it would have made sense for them. I don't know as much about Green Bay's free agents, but I do know the Bills have a couple of key guys they want to re-sign, including star linebacker Matt Milano. And is it really worth it to, instead of paying Matt Milano, pay a 31-year-old J.J. Watt? I mean, I am actually of the belief that this contract is worth it. It's only a two-year deal. It really shores up their defensive line. Defensive ends are pretty important. I think they're more important than cornerbacks. 31 is kind of old, and injuries are a concern, but I think it's got a lot of potential. It could work out. And for a team that went 8-8 last year, I think it's something that they kind of need to swing for the fences a little bit with their free agent moves. And then also, Dom, to touch on your point about the Chandler Jones trade, I think it worked out perfectly fine for the Patriots. They won 3 Super Bowls. They got Joe Tooney. They were able to keep Dante Hightower. They signed Stephon Gilmore. So that's whatever. But in terms of this signing, I think it was a good move by Arizona. Because what else would you have wanted them to do in that, like, what would you?
I guess when you put it that way, it's only a 2-year deal. So I guess they're not. It's not like he's tied down for a while. But
maybe their Super Bowl window opens up. You never know. Like,
yeah,
there could be a prospect that they draft this year, because, I mean, honestly, they could have gone with either defensive line or offensive line and had the perfect pick. But now they can't go offensive line in free agency because they just gave J.J. Watt a lot of money.
And then they go offensive line in the draft. They have a top 16 pick.
But the problem with going offensive line in the draft is that if you're picking in the first round, there's a chance that your guy is just not going to do well. And we saw what happened with Kyler Murray last year when he had an inadequate offensive line. He got hurt. And when he got hurt, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't as good. Like, that team just fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hate this for so many reasons. And it's not because I have an anti-J.J. Watt bias, because he kind of effectively ended Alex Smith's career. I mean, it's just a bad signing.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it from that perspective as well.
Do you... Yeah, actually, go on.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, J.J. Watt did say initially that he wanted to sign with a contender. And I was seeing someone say this, and I agreed with that sentiment, that he just went into a division that's probably one of the best in the league, and he went to the team that is the least equipped to contend of the four teams in the NFC West. And so, like, if he really wanted to contend, was this the move to make? I don't know. But
he's also gonna have to take a lot of, like, it's not gonna be very easy for him, especially at this age. And we were just talking about his injuries. He's gonna have more injuries, and unfortunately, probably for longer periods of time when he does get injured. So I don't know.
He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, and
he could have even gone to the Seahawks and done better.
I understand that he's trying to win a Super Bowl, and Arizona's a pretty good team to do it with. And
too many moving parts in Arizona, and I don't feel comfortable. If I'm J.J. Watt, I don't feel comfortable with only signing a 2-year deal, because I damn know well that in 2 years we're not winning a Super Bowl. We might not even make a deep playoff run. Right now we're scrambling. We're trying to figure our system out. We got a new Kyler Murray. We got new pickups last offseason. Yeah, we were okay last season, but I don't see them getting close to a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, and that's where J.J. Watt kind of screwed up. If I'm J.J. Watt, I am going to either the Steelers. Actually, the Steelers aren't that great. Scratch that. I'm either going to the Packers, Bills, or Browns. And I'm willing to take a pay cut, because right now I'm filthy rich. I don't need money. But for some reason, he went for the bag. I don't know why he went for it, though.
I mean,
really knows? There's other factors.
Like Micah was saying, he's injury prone, he's old, maybe he wanted to get more money. But again, he was saying that he wanted to win. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Do you guys remember the Peloton thing that came out just before he signed?
Oh, yeah, but that was fake. Yeah. That ended up being fake.
Yeah, and then he tweeted out, oh, I don't own a bike. And then all the comments were filled with, oh, you can come to Cleveland and buy a bike. I found that all pretty funny. And it ended up him not going to any of those three teams. That made it more ironic.
Exactly. So, yeah, I want to move on from that. After the break, we'll go touch on the NFL draft. And if the 2021 NFL draft, will give our mock draft predictions as of right now in March. We'll obviously touch on it in the future, but just to give our picks for right now, we touched on it a little bit last week, and we'll continue with the mock draft after the break. So first off, pick number 6, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the board. Who do you guys have them?
I'm going to go personally with Devontae Smith. And you know why that is? The Eagles need a wide receiver, and I think that he's the best option off the board.
The Eagles need a wide receiver, but I'm going with Jamar Chase. Are you assuming
Chase is already off the board or no?
Yeah, I would assume he's off the board. I would either having him go to the Dolphins. Yeah, it's just really, if Jamar Chase is off the board, which he would be in my prediction going to the Dolphins, but if he isn't, I'm taking Jamar Chase. That's a no-brainer with the Eagles pick, but if he is gone, Devonta's, I don't know how to say his first name, it confused me, Smith is their best option.
I've got it completely different. What? I mean, so I wasn't on last week, so my picks are Lawrence, Wilson, and then Chase third, Fields fourth, Sewell fifth. For the Eagles, I've actually got Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State.
I had Micah Parsons going to the Lions next.
I watched a fair amount of Eagles football, and although their offense was terrible, they do have something with Jalen Reagor. I mean, I don't know if they need to take a receiver. And as good as Devontae Smith or, I mean, if Ja'Marr Chase falls, then Ja'Marr Chase or Jalen Waddle are, as good as those guys are, they don't have defense. Their defense is just plugging pieces in and signing old free agents and then just hoping that they can skate by and win 8 games. That is just how it's been. It's the same thing with the Cowboys. I don't know if it's a division thing or what, but I mean, they need some guy like Micah Parsons, who can actually be that cornerstone, who can just do everything, because he's good in almost every facet of the game. His coverage could use some work, and there might be some character concerns that came out last month, but regardless, he's really good, and I think that they could use him. I mean, they have an okay offense. That defense is just so terrible.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Domin in the receiver part, but I actually think I predicted last week that Devonta Smith was going to go to the Dolphins. So with Devonta Smith off the board, I have Ja'Marr Chase going to the Eagles at 6.
Makes sense. I also wasn't on last week, so I'll quickly give my top 5. I have Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Fields, Penei Sewell. So with pick number 6, I think the Eagles have to go wide receiver. They got rid of Wentz. They have Jalen Hurts coming in. New quarterback, rookie quarterback. I feel like you got to surround him as best as possible. I could see them go tight end as well. Maybe not just wide receiver, Kyle Pitts. Because I don't know how long Zach Ertz is going to stay in Philly. But I feel like he can be serviceable enough for maybe a year or two to help Hurts at least start off to the point where they should go wide receiver here. And the wide receiver that, since I had Chase off the board, I'm going to go with Devonta Smith at number 6. Number 7, the Detroit Lions would be on the board.
I already said my pick. I said Micah Parsons. That's where Patrick had him at number 6. I think the Lions need some defense, and I believe that they will get that with Micah Parsons. He's experienced. I actually FaceTimed him and played Warzone with him, so just kind of a background.
Got it.
A little bit of flex too. Not gonna lie, it was at night playing Warzone with him, but that's besides the point. I think that he'd be a great linebacker for them, and I watched a little bit of his tape, not much at all. I'm not gonna lie, I watched maybe a couple minutes of it, and from what I've been seeing, he's an absolute beast, and totally. I believe that he will adapt to the NFL better than anyone else in the draft, and I think he deserves to be a top 10 pick.
Patrick, what are your thoughts?
So for number 7, I have Devonta Smith to the Lions, and I'm basing this off of Kenny Golladay leaving in free agency, because although Marvin Jones Jr. is really good, he isn't a number 1 wide receiver, and Devonta Smith is, I mean, he's the Heisman winner. He's the greatest college wide receiver I've ever seen. The only problem with his game is that he's small. He's 6'1", 175. So, I mean, there could be problems in his first couple seasons with his, like with him just being too small. But, I mean, size comes with experience. Like, Marquise Brown was able to add, like, 20-plus pounds of muscle in the offseason. So, I mean, I think this would be a great pick for them. If they choose to keep Jared Goff, I think that would really help his transition to Detroit. DeAndre Swift would also not be relied on as much. And, I mean, the Lions get a great player, a really exciting player, and fans would love it because you're not just, like, drafting a defensive end or an offensive lineman who you don't really see star plays from. I mean, this is one of the best wide receivers to ever play football and at the college level.
Micah?
Yeah, I share the same viewpoint as Domin. Again, I think Micah Parsons just makes the most sense for the Lions in this case. And I also, with the picks I had before, Devonta Smith will be off the board. So with what they have left and what they need, I think the fellow Micah will be going to Detroit.
Nice. I'm going to go with Patrick. Not the same player, but the same position. I think the fact that they have Jared Goff, probably going to give him a chance. They need to give him some help. And since they're going to be losing their best wide receiver in the offseason, they need to especially bulk up at wide receiver. They have TJ Hawkinson, who looks like he's going to be pretty good, so they don't need to touch tight end. So with wide receiver, I think that they should go Jalen Waddle. He's the obviously the best available with Devonta Smith and Ja'Marr Chase off the board. And also, I don't even know how much of a downgrade he really is to Chase or Smith, because he was better than Smith when they were both on the field before Waddle got hurt. And I don't know. I think that he could be very good as well. So don't sleep on Jalen Waddle. I have him going number 7 to the Detroit Lions. The 8th pick then goes to the Carolina Panthers.
This is where Carolina takes a QB. I don't think it's going to be Mac Jones, just because I think Trey Lance is one of those guys where he'll sit behind Teddy for a year. Now, in the previous episode, I did say that I thought that there might be a trade with the 49ers where Jimmy G is going to Carolina. But if that doesn't happen, I think this will happen. Trey Lance to Carolina at 8.
I think I have to agree with you there. I was going to say that, and then I got a little mix of my words. But yeah, I agree with you. Trey Lance to Carolina, I believe, with every single point that you said about the 49ers possibly going for a trade. And if they don't, taking Trey Lance would still be the right idea, and putting him right behind Teddy Bridgewater, who is a veteran and who has proven himself in the NFL on different occasions, obviously not right now. But I am going to select Trey Lance with the 8th overall pick.
I actually have to agree with both of you, but it's not because I like the pick. I think this is a terrible pick. I don't like Trey Lance's game. I don't think he's proven himself. I mean, who was the last quarterback to come out of North Dakota State? Carson Wentz. And Lance played one game this year. I believe he was 15 of 30 passing. I mean, that's just, but it's a subpar competition. He should be dominating. He did dominate 2 years ago, but then again, 2 years ago, I don't like this fit. And he's not going to be sitting behind Teddy Bridgewater, because Bridgewater is going to be gone. He had a terrible season. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bright side, though, is that, I mean, they'll be getting back Christian McCaffrey. They'll have DJ Moore. I think they'll have Robbie Anderson. And even possibly Curtis Samuel, although he's probably going to leave in free agency. So he'll have weapons, and he can certainly develop into an NFL quarterback. I mean, I think even Mac Jones would be the better fit here. It's just that Trey Lance is the more dynamic player. Like, his comparison coming out of college was Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, those comparisons are a bit weird. I mean, I saw Zach Wilson being compared to Kyler Murray at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, still, I don't like this pick, but it's going to happen. Unless they trade for Deshaun Watson.
So I'm also going to go quarterback at 8. But you guys all went Trey Lance. I'm going to go Mac Jones. I don't agree with this pick whatsoever. I think Mac Jones should honestly go in the second or third round. But I think from what I've been hearing, all the reports saying that Mac Jones is probably going to go ahead of Trey Lance, I think NFL teams want proven quarterbacks, or quarterbacks who are more ready at the NFL level. And I think Trey Lance is just more of a risk. And so I think that because of that, Mac Jones might probably go ahead of him, even though he's less talented, has less potential. So Mac Jones at 8 is my selection. Number 9, we have the Denver Broncos.
This one is pretty clear cut. This is another guy that I FaceTimed.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I've also been reading up on him. He looks like the real deal. He looks really good.
He had a breakout season this year. Before, he was projected to be, I think it was a 5th or 6th round draft pick.
Yeah.
He really turned around his season. Now he's a top 10 pick.
He just looks like everything you want in a cornerback, just like gets to the ball, you know, gets in between the receiver and the ball. Just like really good. Not much you can ask for.
I mean, I had this pick. It was kind of a toss up between Farley and Patrick Surtain from Alabama. And I had Surtain going fourth a couple months ago. So I've got Surtain going ninth here. I mean, he just played better competition. I mean, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the only reason. Because, I mean, Surtain is one of the most physically gifted corners, and he's one of the most technically sound.
Yeah.
I mean, and we saw last year with guys like AJ Terrell and Damon Arnett that corners have a very difficult time adjusting to the NFL game. So there really isn't a right choice, because almost no matter what, there's going to be some hiccup. So, I mean, either of these guys would be a great pick. It just comes down to whichever one the Broncos think had a better year. And I think that's going to be Surtain, just because he played in the SEC.
I completely agree, and I'm also going to go Surtain to the Denver Broncos at number 9. Number 10, we have the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, this is where I have Surtain going.
Yeah, just I agree.
I honestly agree with you guys a little. I would agree with the same points that you're making about Farley in the competition. I just think that from what I'm hearing around the NFL, Farley might go before Surtain, but it could really go either way. They're both just two really good corners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna take Farley here, just to reverse your order. I just think Surtain, again, like Patrick said, he played better competition. I think he, from his tape, he's a little bit more talented, but
mm-hmm.
I could definitely see it going either way.
I've got Gregory Rousseau going here. I think he's one of the more underrated players in this draft now. I mean, he hasn't been talked about. I believe he opted out, so that's the reason. It's kind of the same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. But the Dallas Cowboys, they had one of the worst defenses in NFL history last year. There really isn't a wrong pick if they go on the defensive side of the ball. And Rousseau was one of the more dominant defensive ends in college football 2 years ago. I mean, look at the defensive ends who have come out of college, like the top guys. You've got Nick Bosa and you've got Chase Young. You've got Joey Bosa a couple years ago. Like, I think Rousseau could have that same kind of impact or near that impact. And the Cowboys offense is really good. He could vault their defense not to like elite levels, but to decent levels.
While we are talking about Gregory Rousseau, I just want to touch point on when Rousseau opted out, he was a top 3 draft pick, and that was on every single mock. And now mm-hmm. he's dropped to what, 10 to 15 range?
Maybe even out of the top 20. Maybe even out of the top 20.
That would be absolutely horrible. Whoever gets him practically over number 10 is going to get an absolute steal. I've talked to this guy almost every single week on text and stuff, and just another flex. I just like keep flexing. And there's just so much to him that we don't really know. He's working. I asked him the other day, what is he doing to, like, you know, keep in shape and make sure that he's filling his time? And apparently he's working nonstop. So that's what we forget about these guys when they're opting out of the season. We forget that they're working too. And that leads me to say that he should still be a top 10 pick. And Patrick, I totally agree with your pick there.
You say that, but I mean, and not to say that he's doing anything wrong. Every player's working. Like, if you're not working as hard as he is, you're not working hard at all.
The difference is he hasn't had real game action.
And that's a little bit of a downfall, but the upfall of this was...
The upfall.
The upfall. I'm just reversing everything.
Oh, my God.
The upside of this is that he's a whole different beast now. You know how much more athletic he's became?
No, I get what you're saying with that, but, like, it's a hard point to make, because unless he specifically is growing at, like, an exponential rate compared to everyone else, then yes, like, he is going to be much better.
My point is saying that he's not going to, he shouldn't drop from 10 to 20.
Oh, yeah, no, he's definitely a talented guy. I totally agree with
you. It's just dominant. The teams don't have recent tape to judge him on. Like,
then yes, why would you pick Trey Lance top 10?
No, here's the thing. That's a different story. He's a quarterback. It's a little bit different.
No, Ja'Marr Chase would be more of an apt comparison.
Yeah.
because he also opted out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it does make sense because you don't have recent tape. Micah Parsons opt out too? But it's a, yes, I believe he did.
So why is he going top?
But no, but, I mean, at the same time, it does make sense that they would drop him for whatever reason because there isn't recent tape and you don't know what these guys are actually doing. But then again, he is also one of the most talented defensive ends to come out of college football. So, I mean, I think this is a warranted pick.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are terrible anyway.
Well, so
had to throw that in there.
The New York Giants will be on the clock at number 11. And I personally have Gregory Rousseau going to the Giants
there. Yeah, I do as well. I do as well.
I have Kyle Pitts.
Ooh. Interesting. So you think that really? They move on from Evan Ingram?
With Evan Ingram already there?
I don't think they necessarily move on with him. It's just, I think they have a double tight end.
I don't know if I would.
And Evan Ingram does not deserve that Pro Bowl. Let's just get.
No, I know he doesn't. You know who does? Logan Thomas. That isn't even bias. He was just straight up better. But no, he was. Look at statistically, he was better. But 11th, I've got Jalen Waddle. I mean, so I did this pick without realizing that Kenny Golladay has a pretty good chance of going to New York. But if he doesn't, I mean, Waddle is a bona fide wide receiver one, and it would really help Daniel Jones because it looks like they're not going to be getting another quarterback, and they won't start Colt McCoy, which is a good decision. But I think he would finally actually put Jones like above a terrible quarterback level and make him decent at least. And you're bringing back a healthy Saquon Barkley, like assuming that he's at the same level he was before. And you're bringing in, what, like a top 12 defense, a top 10 defense? So that's a good team. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're pretty good.
For sure. Number 12, San Francisco 49ers. I feel like this is a more boring pick. What do you guys think?
I actually had... this could be where Kyle Pitts goes.
What?
Ooh. What? With Kittle? Because I know...
Behind Kittle?
I like that.
Behind Kittle? Dude.
No, because I know they like to rock. They like to rock sometimes with two tight ends.
But not with the first round pick.
It's not... No, well, I mean,
he's that good though. It doesn't really make
sense.
I don't know.
On the other hand, they did replace him with Dwelling.
Like when Domin's saying two tight end set, Evan Engram and Kyle Pitts, it's a little bit different because Kyle Pitts is going to be that guy.
I say that only because like I just don't know if Kyle Pitts is on the board, he might be too good. Even though it's a first round pick,
yeah,
he's like that good, like. He looks really good.
He's going to run a sub 4.5 40. You're hearing it here first. He was the most talented offensive player in college football. And if he had played more games, I think he would have at least been in the Heisman.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Like he looks insane. His stats are insane. I think zero drops or something like that
in the end zone.
Crazy
receiving.
And triple coverage in the end zone catch.
Wild.
Yeah. No. I've got Caleb Farley going here. I mean. So the 49ers are going to lose Richard Sherman in free agency, and Jason Verrett is not a top – he's not a number one corner. So, I mean, Farley's one of the most athletic corners in this draft, one of the most athletic defensive players. And, I mean, think about the competition that the 49ers will have to play. I mean, they have to play the Rams, who are going – they might have a top five offense with Matt Stafford. I mean, they'll have to play the Cardinals, and they'll have to play the Seahawks. So, naturally, I think the 49ers have to go defense because, I mean, their back end just isn't great.
I have the 49ers going with the interior offensive line, Elijah Vera Tucker at number 12.
Mm.
I think they need to shore that up a little bit. So, number 13, we have the Los Angeles Chargers. What do you guys think?
I've got Rashawn Slater from the tackle from Northwestern. I mean, this is really the pick they had to make. Any tackle would have done would do well because Justin Herbert is going to get killed. It would be a Deshaun Watson-like situation if they didn't do something.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say some protection. Offensive tackle sounds about right.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go with the same guy, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. Number 14, we have the Minnesota Vikings.
Maybe this is where we see Jalen Waddle off the board. I mean, right before the Patriots, that would kind of suck because Jalen Waddle to the pass would be amazing. I'm not too sure. Maybe that's a stretch, but
I've got Kwity Paye from Michigan. Ooh. Because the Vikings, their defense, just I don't like it. And they had Yannick Ngakoue for a few games, but then they traded him to Baltimore. I mean, they could have a really good defense next year if he has a Chase Young-like season. Because assuming that Cam Dantzler and Jeff Gladney improve like I think they can, I mean, that's a good defense, and that's a really, really good offense.
See, for me, this is tough because at this point, I have Kyle Pitts, Trey Lance, and Micah Parsons still on the board. And, I mean, to be honest, I don't think the Vikings need a tight end. I could see them going Trey Lance to maybe back up Kirk Cousins for a couple of years and then move on from Cousins and try to go with Lance as a project. Man, I don't really know. I think Kwity Paye would be a good option. I might go with Kwity Paye. I kind of agree with Patrick Say there, actually. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kwity Paye to the Vikings because I already had the wide receivers off the board earlier as well. So now, number 15, the last pick we're going to make today. New England Patriots are on the clock. What do you guys think?
I think if they haven't traded up already, which knowing the Patriots, they won't, I think this is where they go with probably Mac Jones. I think it makes the most sense just because he's the, as we were talking about earlier, he's the quarterback that's probably the most, well, besides obviously Trevor Lawrence and maybe Justin Fields, he's the quarterback that's the most pro-ready. Maybe if Trey Lance were on the board, they would take him. But, yeah, I would probably go Mac Jones here.
I'm going Kyle Pitts because I've still got Kyle Pitts on my board.
So. Patrick, I hope.
You see, the thing is, I hope. Don't hope because I want him to fall to 19.
He's not going to fall to 19.
Yeah, unless see,
that's what makes that's me what I'm really saying. Sad. I think about that
every single time I scroll through my mock.
If the Patriots pass up on Kyle Pitts, I'm done. Like, here's the thing, Patrick. I will be so annoyed.
Here's the thing, Patrick. I'm sitting here at 15, and I still have Kyle Pitts, Trey Lance, and Micah Parsons on my board. And honestly, I don't know if the Patriots choose a tight end over a quarterback. I'm going to take Trey Lance here, assuming they get another veteran quarterback to start above in front of him for a year, maybe.
Like Trubisky?
Have him sit, have him learn. Not like Trubisky.
It would be such a Belichick move.
I think they'd bring Cam Newton back for a year.
Yeah.
Trey Lance sit behind him, learn. I know Cam Newton didn't have the best of years last year, but I think with a year under the system, with better wide receivers coming in free agency, hopefully, and I think recovering more from COVID, because we saw before COVID, he was a pretty good quarterback. I think that he'll be at least serviceable in 2021. So I think they bring him back, and I think they choose Trey Lance to back him up. But at that point, Kyle Pitts is still on the board at pick 16. I mean, we'll talk about this next week, but at least on my board, I think there's a chance that he goes to Washington.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's going to do it for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can check out, you can follow us on Instagram at the official Hurry Up, where we post daily content about the NFL. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NFL as well. Also, go follow us on Twitter at _thehurryup, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok at thehurryup as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NFL segments every Wednesday, bonus content on the weekend, and our NBA segment next Monday. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.